I want to talk about the church tonight for a few minutes. I'm using Tuesday night and Thursday night more so for a few weeks for Bible study. Not real deep Bible study, if there is such a thing as deep Bible study, but more or less fundamental, basic things that sometimes people are assumed to understand, but oftentimes don't understand. So it's easy for us to get caught away in our deep thinking Bible studies and forget about those who are trying to learn the basics and get started. And really, there's nothing any deeper than just the sincere milk of the Word of God. So I'm going to go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and although I'm going to be starting off here with husbands, love your wives, in verse 25, I'm not here to talk about husband and wife relationships, but I'm here to talk about the church. Amen. I'm here to talk about the church. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Everybody say spotless,
spotless.
Holy,
holy,
without blemish,
without blemish.
No wrinkles,
no wrinkles.
A glorious church.
Glorious church.
That's the kind of church God expects. Amen. Now, we can talk about church, and when we think of church, everybody has a different perception. People think of church, and sometimes we have pleasant memories, sometimes not so pleasant memories. But church is always going to be spotless and pure. Amen. And there is no division in God's church. I heard somebody say some time ago, in fact, I've heard several people say these things through the years, when God gets the church perfected, that'll be time for him to come and take his people home. There is a misunderstanding there. God's church has always been perfect. There has never been a time when God's church was not perfect. Amen. Now, there are many people with assemblies, and we call these assemblies churches. And many of these assemblies have divisions, and you name it, it goes on in these churches. There are problems in churches as people think of churches. But we're talking about God's church. There is no problem whatsoever.
Amen.
Never has been, never will be. Amen. It's a perfect, without spot, without wrinkle. God is not today trying to figure out how to get this church cleaned up. He did that at the old rugged cross. That's when he purchased his church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And anybody that wants to be a part of that will have to go through the plan of God to get into it. And there is no such thing as having trouble in the church. There might be trouble in the churches, or in the church as you think of church, which is not a church if it has trouble. Amen. But God's church is trouble free. God's church is sin free. God's church is perfect. Amen. If you don't understand what I'm saying, hang on a minute, because it's very clear in the Word of God. God doesn't do anything halfway. He is not up there today looking down upon humanity and seeing all the divisions of the various organizations and independent peoples and folks trying to get all this stuff together just right. God is not trying to figure out who's going to make it and who's not. I heard somebody say some time ago, we better get our act together. God's going to take his blessings from us and give them to another group. God's blessings are God's blessings. And if we want to get in on it, we just get in on it. We do it God's way. There is no God taking it from this group and giving it to this other group. It's just God has a church. It's glorious. It's spotless. It's without blemish or any such thing. And he has it available for everybody on the face of the earth.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's available. And God's church is not a Pentecostal church, not a Baptist church, not a Catholic church. It's not Episcopal Church. It's not Presbyterian. Amen. It's not a Jewish synagogue, and it's not a Protestant church. It's just God's church. And all these things that we know about, and all these different divisions and people forming their groups and saying, because we see these things alike, and so thus we have our group where our statement of faith is so-and-so. We believe in this, and we believe in that, and we believe in this, we believe in that. None of that impresses God. All He wants is somebody that believes in God. Hallelujah. It doesn't impress God if we make a statement of faith. What that does is impress some of the legal people in our country or in our various nations, where sometimes they require certain things, such as a statement of faith or something to prove that you've got a group of people who have a certain thing to stand for. And it's not always necessary that you even have that. But God requires that we just find ourselves humble and obedient to God. And look to Him as a wife would look to a good husband. As one, a good provider. As one who is willing to do whatever it takes to make that wife be taken care of. And to know that she's loved. And to know that she has a place. And to know that whatever it takes, I'll be there for you. And this is what God's looking for. Some people that are willing to be looking to Jesus as the one who is able to provide. The one who is able to be there no matter what happens. The one who is able to take us back no matter how we may stray if we will call out to Him. No matter how much trouble we get into, He's there with an open, outstretched arm saying, come back. Come back. I'll take you. I'll fix things up. I'll make things right. Amen. He can make it right when nobody else can. There are no programs on the face of the earth that can do what Jesus can do for His church. Amen. And it's great to be part of the church. It's great to be part of the church. Hallelujah. You see, because God's church is spotless. Now, in order to get into the church, we have to be made spotless. In order to be made spotless, we take our humanity before God. We take our mistakes before God. We take our problems before God. We take our sins before God. And we take all of our failures. And we say, God, I need help. I'm in trouble. Because the Word of God says the wages of sin is death. And the Word of God says that the penalty of sin is punishment eternally. The Word of God teaches that God despises sin. And yet that it says also that all have sinned. All have sinned. I hear a lot of people saying, okay, that means that God understands we all have sinned, so let's take the Romans road to salvation. There is no Romans road to salvation. It doesn't exist. The book of Romans was written to the church. It was written to the spotless church. It was written to the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And it was addressed to a local assembly when people got themselves in trouble, how they could get themselves back in order so they could get back into the spotless church. Hallelujah. There is no Romans road for somebody that's not in the church to be able to come through the book of Romans to get into the church. You need to get into the church, and then you can read the book of Romans to find out how to stay in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But a lot of people like to go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are good books to read. Now let's go to Romans. Why do we skip Acts? Why do we skip Acts? When Acts is the book that tells us how to get in the church. Acts is the book that God has given us the instructions of how to become part of the spotless, glorious church. With no blemish. No blemish. Now that can only happen through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's able to take our failures and our sins and roll them up and throw them away and clean us up and say, welcome into my church. Now we get up here and testify. I thank God that I'm part of this church. And we still stand here in these bodies that have known sin, these eyes that have looked upon things we should not look upon, These ears that have listened to words we should not listen to. These tongues that have said things they should have never said. These hands that have reached out for things they never should have touched. And yet we're able to say, thank God He's made me pure. Thank God He's made me clean. Thank God He's made a way for me when there seemed to be no way. Hallelujah. So nobody here is claiming that in our humanity that we are perfect. But we are standing on the Word of God that says, though we are human, God has perfected His church. And He is taking people, mortality, as rough as it is, and said, I will make you clean. You know, if nobody else thinks of us as being clean, as long as God sees us as clean, we're clean. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you tonight. So what about all these churches that preach the truth with a bad attitude? I don't see any example in the Word of God or any provision in the Word of God that shows that we should have a right to treat people with hatred, with scorn, with ridicule. Yet I see so many people claiming to be part of the church with this attitude. Bless God, you better line up. You better get your act together or you're going to split hell wide open. And I've seen them really get vicious. I've seen people get right up in each other's face claiming to be part of the church. And I don't believe that this is part of the church. All these issues that people get all bent out of shape over. I know when people come into our assembly and people who are in assemblies similar to this, sometimes people are a little bit apprehensive because they notice there's a difference in dress or maybe a difference in hair or maybe a difference in something else. And sometimes they're a little concerned at first because they wonder, are we forcing anything upon somebody? And it's no wonder that people are apprehensive because all over this world, you can find folks who are forcing people to line up to the way it's supposed to be in their opinion. And anytime people are being forced to do anything and call it a church, there's something wrong. God leads people into His church, and He does it with love. I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of hell and heaven issues that people are dooming each other to hell because they say it's a heaven or hell issue, and it's nothing to do with heaven or hell. I'm telling you, the clothes you wear is not going to doom your soul to heaven or make you go to hell or make you go to heaven. Clothes will not do that. Whether you wear what is called the standard of the people around you or not, it's what happens in your heart between you and God. Clothes, the change of attire, is simply something that is a result of showing physically something that has happened on a spiritual basis between you and your God. And it just so happens that when people are letting God do the work, a lot of things are similar with our brothers and sisters. Some things that we used to wear, we don't wear anymore. And things we start wearing, we do this because this is something God is pleased with. Worked out in a special, sincere moment with God when God spoke to our hearts and said, I'm cleansing you so you can be part of my church. It's a holy church without spot or wrinkle. And when God gives you Holy Ghost conviction, no man can take it from you because it wasn't forced upon you, but you were led into it. And it's so good to be able to say, I do what I do for the glory of God and is unto the Lord. And nobody's making me do what I do because God has brought me into His church. Hallelujah. Amen. I saw a young man who was a young Bible school student get down in the altar with a handkerchief and grab a woman by the hair and started wiping the lipstick off of her lips with a handkerchief. That's not the way you do things in church. And our church at that time was almost sued over that, and the pastor was in trouble over that because you just don't do those things. I want to tell you what, if a person If a person is coming into the church of God, they should be loved. No matter what they have on their faces or on their backs, they should be loved. And they should be treated with gentleness and kindness. And it's nobody's place to try to fix somebody else. We're all in trouble with God unless we come to God and ask Him to help us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nobody's better than anybody else. It's God's church, and it's a spotless church without anything wrong with it. So, you know, I keep getting these questions. So what about finger rings? What do you believe about finger rings? What difference does it make? What about God? What do you believe about serving God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody contacted me an email the other day and said, I saw some people on your video in your church that are not living up to apostolic standards. Well, I said, I don't have a church. I don't have a church. You didn't see anybody in my church. But I've got some folks here who are coming into this hospital trying to get healed from some wounds that happened to them out in the world. And we're in various stages, and some of us are coming forward from recent sinful past. And I'm not going to make anybody change anything they're doing. I'm just going to preach the Word of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the help of God, the strength of God, the power of God. And let God work this out so that when God presents unto Himself a glorious church, I don't care what the internet mail says, it's going to be okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Because you start letting people fix you just because you happen to call yourself by the same name they call you. And the next thing you know, there's going to be confusion in the so-called church and division. And that's what all this division and stuff comes from. We don't have it here. If we do, I don't know about it. It's kept hush-hush from the pastor because the pastor never knows it because everybody here is well aware that it's just not allowed in this assembly. But we do have various opinions, and we have people that don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. And we have people who have different convictions, a lack of convictions, a lot of convictions. We have people who have the Holy Ghost, people who don't have the Holy Ghost, people who are seeking for the Holy Ghost, people who have repented and haven't been baptized, some that are planning to be baptized, some that have been baptized and still need to repent. We got all this, and that's what this is all about. God has planted within this world a system with pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and all these things that God has provided, it's for the perfecting of the church for the work of the ministry. Now, this is something aside from what God has already perfected. The perfecting of the church for the work of the ministry is the local assembly. God has provided pastors and teachers to be able to teach you and preach to you, to help you, to get yourself into a position so God can say, well done. Well done. Enter ye into the joys of the Lord. People are always asking, what does it take to get to heaven? Just get in the church and you'll be okay. There's not going to be anybody in heaven that didn't go through the church. So anything you read about what to do in order to get to heaven, apply that in order to get into the church. Hallelujah. There are going to be many in that day who say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. What day is that? When Jesus said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Do you think we're going to stand in a long line, 10,000 miles long, filled with people who think they're going to get in, and suddenly it dawns on them when they finally get to the Master, they are not what they thought they were? No, it's going on now. There are people prophesying that are not fit to prophesy. There are people pointing their fingers in other people's faces saying, thus saith the Lord, and it's not God at all. It's some man's opinion. There are people casting out devils, and it's not devils being cast out. It's somebody putting on a good act and devils putting on good acts. Hallelujah. There's a lot of phony stuff going on in the name of religion. But there is a real church. And there is a real people right now in this day in which we live where God is looking at, right straight at them and saying, enter ye in to the joys of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. I make all things new. Behold, all things are new. Old things have passed away. It's not just someday, but it's today. Yes. Hallelujah. If old things don't pass away for you in this lifetime, don't expect suddenly God to wipe the tears from your eyes on a street of gold someday. Say, behold, I make all things new. Not everybody that's preached into the pearly gates at the funeral will see pearly gates. The church is subject to Christ. It's something that is sanctified and holy and cleansed and washed with the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It means there is nothing whatsoever wrong with God's church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And the church is not in any way limited to the structure of any building or any program or any man-made set of rules or any group or any organized system. Amen. Somebody told me the other day, I would not feel secure in God if I were to leave the organization that I'm part of. And I said to that person, you should immediately leave. If that organization has become your security, then you're in trouble with your God. And you need to leave and find out what it is to depend on God instead of your organized system. Because people do things to people, and they make things for people to get people to agree with people. And people have carnal minds and corrupt communications, and people do bad things, and people sometimes are not right with God. So sometimes people who are not really serving God get into positions to try to influence people into something that supposedly is serving God. But if you see any group, any organization, any system that is less than perfect, look only to God for your perfection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can't think of any group I know of in any kind of church religion or any kind of church setting. I can't think of any group, any organized system or even independent church group that doesn't have division and problems. But I can think of one church that's spotless. Hallelujah. It is universal. It's around the world. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, where two or three are together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, saith the Lord. And that is God's glorious church. Hallelujah. And if you're in a community somewhere in the world and you don't have a church to go to, let me ask you, why not? Why don't you have a church to go to if you want to go to church? Can you not take your wife and your children and get them all together in your living room and say, let's start a church? You have just as much right to go to church with your family or with your neighbor, and if you can't get anybody to go with you, just your God. Get in church with everything you've got. God will place you in His church, and He will place His church in you. Hallelujah. I get amused at these people that says you can't have church on the internet. Brothers and sisters, if there's any place where anybody wants to praise God, you can have church. Hallelujah. You can have church. Because we get so caught up in our own thinking. It has to be a building. It has to be pews. It has to be ushers. It has to be offerings taken. It has to be... God doesn't depend upon any of these things. These are traditions of men. Amen. Even taking the offering and passing the plate. Even the altar in the church was presented by the Methodist people a couple of hundred years ago. It's tradition. You don't have to have an altar made out of wood in God's church. But there is an altar, and you can find it right where you stand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You don't have to have offering place to give in God's offering, but there is a way to give us unto the Lord, and God has given that in His Word, where you can give us unto the Lord and you can give to the church. You don't have to wait on the offering basket to go by, but if you do, it's a fine thing. There's nothing wrong with it. This is our tradition. But if we were to have a service with no offerings, no music, no seats for you to sit on, no altar bench, if we didn't have anybody up here preaching, we could still have church. Hallelujah! We don't have to start off with song service. We don't have to have testimony service. Praise God. God's wanting a church where people do testify, where people do sing, where people do talk about the Lord, but it doesn't have to be on Thursday night. It doesn't have to be just on Tuesday night, not just on Sunday or Sunday night, but wherever we are, He wants us to take our church that's perfect and let our light so shine that all people who come near us will realize they've been close to the church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what does your church believe in? So what does your church believe in? That's a big question. Somebody asked it today on the Arms Around the World. What do y'all believe in? How do you answer a question like that? That's like saying, how did Beethoven write a symphony? What all is involved there? So how do you play the piano? So what do y'all believe in? What do you say in response to a question like that? What do you believe in? You know, anything you say to them is, you know, it's either going to be approved or disapproved. If you say what they agree with, they'll go along with it. That's great. If you say, I believe in sanctification by grace, and I believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin, and they'll go along with that. Let me say something to our internet audience and those who may be watching video and listening in various places. The people in this church have accepted Christ as our personal Savior. We have confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. And I have heard that many religions around the world teach us that you've got to be able to do that in order to be saved. Well, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We're saved. According to you. But are we saved according to God? Because you can believe in your heart and confess all day that you're a sinner, but the Bible still teaches that repentance is necessary. And baptism in the name of Jesus is necessary. And the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues is necessary. You say, well, I don't believe you have to do that. Then just stay here with us until you do. Because it is part of the church. On the day of Pentecost, 120 people had been walking with the Lord, and they had seen miracles, and they had been a part of His ministry in the earth. 3.5 years, short years of ministering upon the earth. And here is Jesus Christ, who's been put to death at a young age. But He wasn't just somebody that somebody killed. He was here for a purpose and a reason. And He made promises during these late night talks under the stars. And He made promises during these multitude miracle moments when people were eating food that was impossible for them to be eating. He made promises when blinded people were being healed and deaf people were being healed and restored and dead people were living again. He was talking to the people around Him and making promises. And He was saying to them such things as, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm going to establish it on a solid foundation. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And He taught them certain things. And He said, there's going to come a time when I will not just be with you, but I will be in you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be in you, not just with you. And He said, I must go away, for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, cannot come if I don't go away. Amen. What He was simply saying was that Jesus, as you know Jesus, amen, is going to become a Jesus inside of you beyond anything you've ever known. Hallelujah. They didn't comprehend. A lot of people don't comprehend today. He was simply talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which all those that believe on Him should receive. The Word of God says they that believe upon Him should receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, what if our church doesn't believe in it? Then you need to teach your church to get in God's church. Because the ones who believe in it are the ones who are able to receive it. And the ones who are able to receive it are given the power to become the sons of God. Even those that believe on His name. What is that name? So if your church group doesn't believe in the Holy Ghost, and your church group doesn't believe in the move of the Spirit of God, then you got some work to do. And we're not here to blast anybody or condemn anybody. But the Word of God is available to every person on the face of the earth. And so when we talk about the things that are in the Word of God, we're not pointing our fingers at anybody. We're pointing everybody to Jesus. Amen. We're pointing everybody to Jesus. Everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. And Jesus is teaching in the Word of God and for children to obey your parents and wives to submit themselves to their own husbands, not somebody else's husband. And for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But all this teaching is not teaching for us just to focus on family relationship. It's all for us to point people the way of God's church. Amen. He wants us to realize it's like a family. Amen. You're as a child of God and walk before God as an obedient child, saying yes sir and yes ma'am to mom and dad. Mom says come and do this, go and do that. We should operate that way as children of the Most High God. When God talks to us, we should accept it as children. Or as a wife is submitted to her husband, and she has a good godly husband. God is not teaching that a wife should submit herself to abuse and cursings and verbal abuse and physical abuse just because your husband is a man and you're a woman. That's not what God is teaching here. He's teaching that a godly family made up of the God-serving husband and a God-serving wife should have a submissive wife who's submissive to her loving husband, just as the church is submissive to a loving God. It has nothing to do with a husband ruling over a woman because he's a man. It has to do with the spiritual child of God taking his place in the kingdom of God, because we are joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, following the King of Kings into the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But people often use the Bible to say, I'm the head of this house. No, if Christ is not the head of your house, you're the head of nothing. Hallelujah. It's all about Jesus Christ being the head. And all that you read about concerning hair in the Bible, concerning husbands and wives, children in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the epistles, anything you read on these areas of study has to do with Christ dealing with his church through humble submission to God. Hallelujah. And Christ being the head of the church. And when he talks about the man being the head of the woman and all these things, and Christ being the head of the man, it's simply talking about God's order of things in God's kingdom, in God's perfected church. Now, you can use these principles in the world if you want to, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. The man is not always the head of the house. We have a lot of women's lib, or women's lip, as some call it. And then we have, you know, husbands marrying husbands, and women marrying women. It's a very messed up society we live in. And there is nothing in the Bible for you people other than repent. There is no instruction for the sinner how to live other than repent. And let God make you clean and stop you from being a sinner. Anything else in the Word of God is written to the people of God. Everything you read, I don't care what it is, you take any instructions you find in the Word of God and say, this is what we believe, this is what we go by, this is what we teach, this is what we live by in our home. If Christ is left out, if the truth is left out, if repentance, baptism in Jesus' name is left out, if Jesus Christ is not the head of your house, then you are just full of baloney. Hallelujah. I saw a man hold a Bible over his wife's head one time, threatened to beat her with it. He said, I have a Bible right to make you submit. I've seen pastors pastor churches like that. Bless God! You better listen to me! No, we better listen to God. And those preachers that preach like that need to come off your high horse and get down before God and find this humble Nazarene that was lowly and meek and willing to ride upon a borrowed animal and come into town and be born in a stable and not have to have all the high and mighty things, going to the multitude of losers and making everybody feel special and saying, I'll feed you, I'll help you, I'll heal you, I will cleanse you, I will lead you unto myself. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless God. Anybody in your church got a television? I don't have a church. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? When we get in God's church, it won't matter to you who has a TV or doesn't have a TV. It won't matter to you who wears makeup or who doesn't wear makeup. All it'll matter to you is, are you right with God? Hallelujah. You won't judge your neighbor on your right. You won't judge your neighbor on your left. And when somebody comes in dressed in some kind of apparel or some kind of attire that you don't exactly like, that's all right. You're not going to change and you're not going to treat them bad. You're just going to love your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because that's the way it is in God's perfect church. That's the way it is in God's glorious church. There are no big eyes and little U's. Nobody's more special than anybody else. We still have the same compassionate Jesus Christ in the multitude, feeding us, and helping us and healing us. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from, who you are, how you've lived in the past. If you're in this multitude where the blessings are flowing, He's willing to heal you, help you, feed you, open your eyes, cause you to hear, and make you something special that can last forever and be special in God's church. Hallelujah. If we get all hung up on this, well, I don't believe you should do that, and I don't believe you should do this. Yes, if we talk about this and say we shouldn't get hung up on this, we will be known by some as compromisers. Well, I've been called worse names than that. Hallelujah. Do you know there are some churches today, if Jesus were to knock on their door or come to their door, they would look at him from head to toe and say, I don't think you belong here. We have a standard in our church. Or if Paul the Apostle were to walk in, we would talk about the book of Romans, and we talk about the experiences in the book of Acts, how Paul stood out there and said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How were you baptized? And he took them and laid hands on them. They received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. He baptized them in Jesus' name. If he were to show up at some of our conferences and some of our fellowship meetings as an apostolic preacher, I can just hear him in a board meeting. Brothers, I've come to apply for license. Can I possibly be considered for your organization? Well, Mr. Paul, how do you believe on communion? Where do you stand on the standards of holiness? Brother Paul, do you have a television? You know, I told somebody the other day, I don't have a television in my home. Got about 20 in my church, but I don't have one in my home. And all these are neutered. They don't show anything except church people and stuff like that. I mean, it's only because they won't give us cable TV in this location. But I'll tell you something. What? If I could get it, I'd get it. Oh, my Lord, I've just been disfellowshipped by 5,000 people. Thank God. Why would I want cable television in this place? So I could see myself on Sunday afternoons. See, what we have formed, even in apostolic circles, is a few years ago I went to a place where there's some gentlemen were sitting with tears in their eyes pleading for the cause of let's use whatever means is available to get the Word of God out. And at that time, it happened to be the subject was television. And I watched as these people were smeared and these people were ridiculed. And up before that time, they had been talked about as some of the great preachers of our time by the very ones that were now smearing them. And I'm not here to run down anybody or any particular group, but I watched with a heart that was broken while men turned against men because of the way they believed about television. And I actually heard some people there as they were standing to vote on the issue of whether or not men should preach in that particular group, should preach or teach on television or not, as they stood, and some of them, the minority on that day, stood to say we feel that it should be allowed to those of us that desire to do so. And I heard people sitting down saying, those people standing will never preach in my church. They will never be allowed to preach in my church. Whose church? And I watched the years go by, and I watched even a few times in some of these meetings I went to, and I am for this particular group. I love this group I'm talking about. I'm not downing that group. I have fellowship with them. I'm a minister in good standing with these people. I'm just talking from a concern that I'm concerned about in every group around the world, how people can get this stuff in their minds, in their hearts, and think, this is what the church stands for. This is what the church is all about. No, it's about Jesus Christ and His perfection and what He can bring us to. It's not about these things that these inventions. Every new thing is sin in the eyes of some people. If it's a new invention, it's a sin. No, it's not. It's people just don't change fast. And so, but I watched them try to put these men down. Then I watched this younger generation. I'm getting up in years now. I'm not real old, but I'm old enough to have lived a long time. And I've watched a lot of things go by. And I see this younger generation. I'm talking outstanding preachers in their 30s and 40s now who were children back then. But they were influenced by this, bless God, we got a standard of holiness attitude. And there's nothing wrong with standard of holiness, but there might be something wrong with the attitude. And I've watched them shout and run the aisles when somebody talks mean about anybody that watches television. And somebody can get up a few minutes later and preach Acts 2:38 and they sit there with their arms folded. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. If you don't like patent leather shoes and somebody gets up and says, I don't believe in patent leather shoes. Yeah, right. And you jump up and say, neither do I. Woo! And somebody else gets up and say, I believe that we need to obey Acts 2:38. You better do a double. Woo! Because following the Word of God is a lot more important than how we feel about patent leather shoes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. So I watch these people today. So they've grown up, and there's this thing of saying, well, you know what? Anybody that believes in TV or teaching on TV or preaching on TV is not of God. And I'm not here to fight anybody, but I'm not scared to talk about these things. There are some of my brothers and sisters who won't even talk about it. They're scared that somebody's going to be offended. You know what? The people of God are never offended. The Word of God says we will not be offended in anything. So if we can't talk about the truth, if we can't talk about some things that are just real without offending you, I invite you to come to church and let God show you what a clean church is all about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I heard for years, the reason we don't believe in TV and we do believe in radio is because you can see the TV and you can't see the pictures on the radio. And those same people now have internet connections. And they're seeing and hearing. What was the difference? I'll tell you what the difference was. It was not a resolution passed against it because it happened so fast it didn't get their attention quick enough. And therefore, since the resolution didn't make it to the conference, they can have internet. Then y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You've never been exposed to organized religion here. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Organized religion's okay if it's organized as God is leading the way. It can also be something that causes wars and strives and people turning on people and people hating one another and bickering and fighting. I want to tell you, God has one church and it's just God's church. A friend of mine said that he went to preach somewhere and a brother said, are you part of us? And his answer was, well, yes, I am. I couldn't find your name in the book. What book? He was a young minister. What book are you talking about? Well, we have a minister's book. If your name's not in here, you're not part of us. That's kind of like the people knocking on your door and saying there's only going to be 144,000 in heaven. Let's all stand. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I've been in and out of organizations for years, and I will continue to do so as long as I live. It doesn't matter to me if I'm in one or not in one. It means nothing to me either way. All I want to do is be in God's church. Hallelujah. I'm not in trouble with any of them, so I can talk freely. You know what surprised somebody the other day was I was talking about some of these things, and he said, well, he said, that's why you're not in our group. And I said, ha, ha, surprise, surprise. I'm in that group, but he's not in necessarily God's group. All I'm doing is saying, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, so we can get in the church, the true church, the glorious church, the spotless church, the endless church. Hallelujah. There is no other church. There is no other church. Amen. Let's all come around the front. Amen. I got a whole bunch of stuff in me, and I could go forever, and I don't want to. This was the introduction tonight. The introduction. I don't know if I'll get to the rest of it or not, but I won't do it tonight. Amen. Everybody on this side, go to this side. And everybody on this side, go to this side. Hallelujah. 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 There are some places where if you would do that, you would mess up all tradition. Because there are some people who are used to standing in the same spot, sitting on the same seat, being with the same friends. Exactly. That's right. And you just don't do these things. I know some places, too, if you dare pray with women and men praying together, you just need to stop that, because they just believe that women should only pray with women and men should only pray with men. Well, you might need to stop that. Take a look at what's happening in society today. What we need to stop is all of our little rules and things that we think we've got it all figured out, and let God be God. You can trust people in the kingdom of God. You can trust God in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So many of these folks that have so many rigid rules on clothes, on whether or not you can pray with a man or a woman, they fall into adultery. I'm going to tell you, adultery is a lot worse than short sleeves. Hallelujah. But so many times the people are so strict, they say, bless God, you better do it this way. Bless God, you better do that. And then we find out they're not even living for God. Well, praise God. We just need to live for God and let God take care of the rest of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. When I was up in Canada, a man came into our church who had been the pastor of the church before I went there. And he went off somewhere in business. Somebody taught him some lessons, and he decided that anything, any shiny shoes that were patent leather are of the devil. And he had decided all finger rings, including wedding bands, are going to send you to hell. And somebody had taught him this stuff. And he came by, and just before service, he was going to preach that night. And he said he's going to just help straighten everybody out, and he'd like to have an offering taken of finger rings and earrings. And he said, because this is ungodly, and God's not going to be pleased with it anymore, and they need to throw in their wristwatches. And he had decided any amount, any kind of metal touching skin is not going to get you into heaven. And he had all this figured out. I didn't let him preach that night, but not long after that, I found out that he was going to bar rooms and nightclubs secretly and using church money to go out with prostitutes. I'm going to tell you what, it'd be a lot better to have wedding rings on every finger and all kinds of gold around your neck and all kinds of trinkets hanging from your hair amen, than to be out running with prostitutes. God wants a clean church. Hallelujah. He's not concerned so much about what you wear. He's concerned about your heart. Then you'll wear what's right when you get your heart right. Hallelujah. Now let's talk to Him and praise Him tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, help us. Help us in the name of Jesus to be spotless and pure and clean, perfected with your power. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let the preaching of the Word be anointed and inspired of God so that we will preach to water what you have given rather than to cause more damage and hurt to one another. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to wash it and cleanse it and keep it pure with the water of the Word that you have provided for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. While you're standing here, one more thing. God works in the church, and He has His way, and it's always been God's way. Man comes up with a lot of fads and a lot of things that seem to be the thing to do. I know last night a fellow called me this morning and said 30 people got the Holy Ghost in a certain place in Massachusetts last night. And I said, well, that's wonderful. And I said, what happened to cause 30 people to receive the Holy Ghost in that place? And he said, well, he said the minister that was there visiting told all the people that did not have the Holy Ghost to come to the front. And he said, now start saying hallelujah over and over as fast as you can. And he said, 30 people saying hallelujah received the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know all the details of what went on there. He was all carried away and he was so enthused and happy about those people receiving the Holy Ghost saying hallelujah. And hallelujah is a high, high praise. And it's wonderful, and we use this word to shout praises unto God. But you can't hallelujah yourself into heaven. You can't hallelujah yourself into the church. Just because you get emotional and your tongue gets tangled up on the hallelujahs, God still has a way that's right as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. You don't have to be tricked into saying anything. You don't have to have anybody tickle your chin or slap you on the cheek a little bit to try to get your tongue started. Let God do what God does. The Holy Ghost came upon them as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Not as man's intelligence figured out how to make it happen. As the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And it still takes repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. If it takes you 30 years to let God speak through you, I want that kind of Holy Ghost and not the kind that man gives to you. Let's thank the Lord again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.